stop? Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Friday night edition of the State Sovereignty Show. I'm Dave. Mike's running a little late tonight, but he'll be pulling in the driveway any minute now. So, look, we've got a guy in Texas with Ebola. We've got his entire family quarantined, and most of the people that he's come in contact quarantined. We've got a government who willingly and quickly quarantines Americans, but won't quarantine Libyans. And I mean, of course, we'll just keep letting these Liberians come flowing into the country without any control at all. What's going on there? Give us a call at 347-677-1835. 347-677-1835 on the Friday night edition. This is the Missouri Grassroots Radio State Sovereignty Show, brought to you by Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Well, now we've got a real problem with the Secret Service. It seems that a character made it well into the White House, past several Secret Service agents, one with a drawn gun, who actually saw him zipping past. What about this resignation by the – what's causing this, first of all? And then what about this resignation, forced resignation, by the head of the CIA? Too soon? Not soon enough? This is not the first such incident by any means. Then we've got a big deal going on here in Missouri in the deal or no deal. I got a call from a good friend this week who had been to a meeting of the organization up there in town and country, I believe. I'm not sure where the meeting was. That's spearheading this this no speakership for deal. This colleague was not convinced that this thing has legs. I believe that it does. I believe that you people, the grassroots of Missouri, are the key to making this happen. Don't prove me wrong. Let's get out there and do it. You can go to Ron Calzone's Facebook page. You can go online at, I had it here a moment ago. Let me get the web address for that. At moleadershipproject.org, MOLEADERSHIP, moleadershipproject.org. That's moleadershipproject.org. If you go online there, you can see a downloadable pamphlet I've downloaded and printed a couple of hundred of these and started handing them out already. You should do the same. Carry them around. Tell everyone who you come in contact with what this speaker is all about, this projected speaker. I was a little bit disappointed when I listened to the radio earlier this week, the local morning talk, and found out that my representative may not be on board with this. I intend to talk with him soon and find out what the deal is. There are going to be lots and lots of representatives who are in quite tight with the prospective speaker. It's up to us, in my mind, to let them know that they work for us, and what we expect from them is to do what we want. That their next election, their entire political career, probably rides on doing the right thing in this, the most important. I'm telling you right now, the most important vote that the House of Representatives is going to take in the next legislative session is going to happen in hour one of day one. It's that important. We are looking at a disaster, a disastrous 2 years if John Deal is the Speaker of the House. We talked with several people already on this show. He single-handedly stopped the paper ballot initiative. He stopped the Second Amendment Preservation Act. He watered down the constitutional amendment. He single-handedly he forced his cohorts to kill the impeachment in the Judiciary Committee. He had a strong hand in the kind of hanky-panky that went on to the Convention of the States measure. He stopped dead in its tracks anti-common core legislation. He's received a lot of money, a lot of money from groups that have a vision of seeing Medicaid expansion in Missouri. This is not going to be a liberty-loving conservative Speaker of the House. And the amount of power that this person holds in the House of Representatives is unimaginable. We talked about this several years ago, 2 years ago now, I think, at length in a series of three shows where we talked with Carl Bearden about how things work in the House, about what kind of power the House leadership has. Virtually, and we've just listed off an entire laundry list of things that that he did last session just as floor leader. And much of that was in cover of Tim Jones. And much of it was in establishing his own power for what he saw as the forthcoming 2 years. We talked with Laura and Frida about 3 weeks ago now, I think. We were talking specifically then about the paper ballot legislation that they were trying to get through that that John Deal stopped. There was no underhandedness there. John Deal flat came out and said, we're not going to do this. Told Frida and Gretchen that in his office. But we talked then about what kind of power this person has. We talked then about how this speaker is sometimes, frequently, almost always, in fact, anointed 2 years in advance. In other words, when they have a vote, this is the status quo in Jefferson City. When they have a vote on the first day of the legislative session, they're going to vote for a speaker, and then they're going to vote for a majority floor leader. And it's pretty well understood at that vote that the next majority floor leader is going to be the anointed 2 years later speaker. That allows this person at least that 2 years, and that assumes that they weren't already picked out a year ahead of that even, in name, if not in official recognition. 2 years minimum to start drawing the attention of lobbyists as the future floor leader, to start drawing attention of the big money, to start drawing attention of the special interest, and to start establishing their power base in the House of Representatives by spreading this money around. Go to MissouriEthicsCommittee.gov. That's MEC.mo.gov. And look up your House of Representatives member by name. What you'll get there is a list of who has given money to the campaign of your House candidate. You may or may not, depending upon where your House candidate sits in the perceived power structure, see a small amount or a large amount of money shuffled over from Deal to that candidate. We're going to investigate this very thing next Friday night. We're going to call names. We're going to name names. We're going to name amounts of money. And we would like to hear from you then about how your representative stands and what you intend to do about it. But at a minimum, you need to do a couple of things right away. You need to email and call your state representative and let them know that you do not want them to vote for John Deal for Speaker of the House. Now, out here in town and country, and I forget what county that is, I forget even what legislative district it is, we have got a thing going where we've got a group of people, and it's unknown at this time how gelled together this group is, that are registered Republicans, some of them diehard Republicans, some of them very, very loyal to their party Republicans, who won't vote for John Deal. There is a number of them who will even vote for the Democrat. I mean, it's not a done deal, quote unquote, that John Deal is even going to the House of Representatives at this point in time. I don't know, and I'm remiss in not having done this in today's show prep. I hadn't planned on spending this much time on the Deal or No Deal tonight. So I don't know who the Democratic candidate is in that race. I'm sure there is one because I hear people talking about throwing their vote, good Republicans talking about throwing their vote. But they're certainly a Libertarian candidate. There may or may not be a Constitution Party candidate. So it's not a done deal that Deal is the deal yet. If he does get elected, and the chances remain good that he'll get elected, you need to get out in front of this. You need to be doing a head start right now. You need to be doing a shot across the bow with your state representative and let him or her know that you want a commitment from them before the November election that they will not cast a vote for John Deal for Speaker of the House. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked there. The Dodgers have just scored twice again. So do that. If you don't know how to email your Missouri state representative, shame on you, first of all. But that's okay. That's okay because you can learn. You can learn right now. Get a pencil and paper. I'm getting ready to tell you. You go to house.mo.gov on the internet. In any browser, house.mo.gov, and there will be an available list of your representatives. So just open that list up and click on your representative, and up will come a nice little page with a picture of your representative, and jot down their phone number while you're on that page because you want to give them a call later too. You want to follow up this email with a call, but there's a link there for you to email this member of the House of Representatives, and to do that, follow through with that email, and expect an answer. You're going to be asked to put in your address, so that this representative is going to know you are a constituent, and so expect an answer. If you don't get an answer, follow it up with another email and another until you get an answer. These people owe you an answer to your email. Now, the answer is going to be drafted by a legislative assistant in most cases. But that legislative assistant is going to be working for that representative. Then follow up that email with a call, with a phone call. And that call needs to be one of two things. It needs to be a call letting the representative know that you've received their email and you're very, very unhappy that they will not make this commitment not to vote for John Deal, or to thank them very much for their commitment. And that's important in my mind. In my mind, these people, they just get bombarded with the negative, with the negative, with the negative. Why are you doing this? I demand that you do this. Why did you do that? You can't be thinking seriously up there when you do this or when you do that. You're a bad conservative. You're a bad Republican. And they don't get thanked enough when they do the good stuff, when they do something right, when they do something good. We're at 347-677-1835. So this week I got into another discussion with someone about Common Core. They were bashing around, as they tend to do, some of the Common Core-ism, some of the lesson plans from Common Core. And the several that I've seen here just lately aren't bad lessons. I see, you know, questions from tests. Now, some of them are really atrocious. And listen, folks, when you post these things, do us all a favor and post where this thing came from. Which one of these copyrighted materials this thing came from? Because, you know, you get out here and you see these Facebook memes and these Facebook books. Pictures with some kind of writing across the top of them, and you see a quote from, you know, from the Duck Dynasty dude that never really came from the Duck Dynasty dude, and you see some stuff, some meme out there about how the U.S. is the 60th ranking country in medical care, or I saw something last week that said Missouri ranked in the bottom four for poorest children or something like that, for children living in poverty, and all, you know, be sure and include source material when you post these memes or these things, because so much of that stuff is bogus. like those things I just said, that it's not even funny. I'm guessing that of all the little picture graphics with writing across the top of them, or the bottom of them, or somewhere in the middle of them, all of the statistical analyses, all of the Common Core, anti-Common Core, yes, Common Core stuff, all of the yes, gun control, no gun control stuff, of all of that I see on Facebook, at least 60% of it is fake. Is just not true. If someone took a picture of Thomas Jefferson and wrote some words across it and then attribute those words to Jefferson, what was the biggie? There was a huge one with the Duck Dynasty guy going around here a little while ago where someone had taken something that actually was said by someone else, I think, Upton Sinclair maybe or something, and attributed it to the Duck Dynasty guy to try to make a good point about the whole Duck Dynasty fiasco here a while back. But the point was lost because what they were posting wasn't true. It wasn't accurate. So that's all. When you post and your cause is good, anti-Common Core is a good cause. Anti-gun control is a good cause. Fair tax is a good cause. But just don't go putting up something on Facebook like 15 countries have adopted the fair tax and they're leaving the United States behind in industrialization, because it isn't true and it detracts from the truth of your message. We're going to take a break. I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm going to tell you each time this week, and then we're going to let this go. But we're rearranging our format here. We're going to try to be more conscientious about taking our breaks on standard break times. And in shows past, we've sometimes gone an hour, once in a while, even the whole 2 hours without a break. But we're being looked at for a national syndication, so we're going to try to get our breaks on time, so that we can get our audio, our stream, at a point where they can edit in their breaks at the right time. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back at 347-677-1835.
Jim Crow climb, come springtime, so let me hear you say,
joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
We're back, back from that break. I want to tell you all that beginning probably week after next, the State Sovereignty Show will be moving from Friday and Saturday night to two midweek nights. I'm not sure which two yet, but I'm having a job schedule change, so it's going to force us to do this two different nights. Yeah, you're right, this isn't my full-time job, as you can tell from listening to me. What is this state sovereignty that we talk about? Let me start with an extreme example, and I get in trouble when I do this, but when the Founding Fathers got together back in Philadelphia, they recognized that they had to have a system to take care of the things that the states independently had failed to take care of. That as a group of states together, a group of sovereign states together, they had failed miserably at with the Articles of Confederation. The Confederation was coming to pieces. The debt, they couldn't pay it. They couldn't force the states to fess up their share of the money, or any money in some cases. Further, the states were fighting over things like who owned the new expanding westward lands. States were making separate individual treaties, not only with different Native American groups, but also with foreign sovereigns like Spain or England or France. Treaties states were making independently that led to a belief that within Europe, within the European countries, that this new continent, this newly liberated collection of states could be torn asunder, would never ever amount to anything, that Europe would still be able to use the states as a foraging ground. What you have when you have a thing like that is you have Spain, Portugal, France, and Great Britain constantly at war with one another. And that raises the potential when Massachusetts has a treaty with Spain, and New York has a treaty with Britain, and Pennsylvania has a treaty with France, it raises the stark reality of the fact that when these people go to war and these treaties are called in, suddenly you have two states of the Confederation at war with one another. There was no consistent recognition of the value of coined money across the state boundaries. We had some states charging other states tariffs for imports into those states, and even charging levies for the use of what should have been common use waterways, the St. Lawrence Seaway, to name one. So the Articles of Confederation had failed miserably, and quite frankly, the 13 states were on the brink of coming completely unglued when the meeting in Philadelphia took place. But over and above a recognition of the need to fix that, these delegates went to Philadelphia with a deep passion for protecting the sovereignty of their state. The last thing they wanted was some consortium, some group, some cooperative of states to be able to somehow impose the will of the several states on them. That is why slavery was such an issue at that meeting. The southern states saw danger in a strong federal government because already abolition was taking hold in the north. The idea of no slavery or of slavery being forever illegal in the United States of America or in the Confederacy, it was already getting a strong hold in the North. At the same time, the Northern states looked at the Southern states at that time socioeconomically stronger because of the agriculture, because of the trade, the international trade going on from the southern regions. And they looked at each other. Each state looked at the other 12 with a ration of fear, a ration of rational fear, that as a group, seven of the 13 could pretty much force their will on any issue onto the other six. So they all went there with a passion for protecting the sovereignty of their state. At the time, many states even had a state church. Many states had a state religion. States had their own coins. But there had to be a way to do things like protect themselves as a group, like keeping one state alone from making treaties with foreign powers that might impact the relationship of the 13, to get some standard for the monetary system, to keep one state from charging another a tariff for an import or a duty for an export, to keep one state from, quote-unquote, owning the Mississippi River or one of the Great Lakes. So they came away with the document that they called the Constitution of the United States, and that was the Constitution of the Cooperative of the 13 States. Now, it's interesting to note, if you will read that document once in a while, that it, in and of itself, and in so many words, in exact words for that matter, preserved the integrity of the state sovereign model. There were these powers, specifically these powers that the federal government was handed by its owners, the states, and no more. States retained unto themselves all other powers. So the federal government could uniformly coin money. And the federal government, through the way the federal government works as a representative body of the 13 states, could make treaties with foreign countries, could borrow money when necessary, could regulate interstate commerce so that one state could charge a duty, an import or export duty to another state, so that one state couldn't charge for use of a common waterway. But they took home with them from Philadelphia an item as valuable as the Constitution, and that was their retained state sovereignty. So coming home from the convention at the state level was not a bit different than when they went to the convention. Each state was sovereign. Slowly but surely, the federal government did exactly what the anti-federalists of the ratification debates said would happen, became stronger and stronger and more powerful and more powerful. So that today, the states seem to exist to serve the federal government. And in that, you need to understand what the federal government is. So what you're saying is the states were becoming quickly slaves of the other 49. Any one state found itself basically at the whim of the other 49. They gave money to the central pot, 90% of which went to another state. And so we reach a time today when we have good, honest folks out there, some in and some out of the legislature, trying hard to get the state sovereignty back. Hold on a second here. I've got no co-host tonight, and I've got a phone call that I've got to deal with. I think it might be Mike.
Learn to be.